victory.
Brother Doug wanted to make sure I felt welcome when I first got here. Brother Kelly said, "Brother Dave, you don't need your jacket here. He said, if you can be more comfortable, you can take your jacket off." So it was off. Brother Doug came up and said, "You don't even need your tie." I'm glad no one else came up. My name is Dave Maneri, a missionary to Romania. We finished our 12th year there. We're starting our 13th year, praise the Lord. God's done amazing things. Before we start looking at the slides, I want everybody to be clear that this is not the Brother Dave show, okay? This is not, look at what Brother Dave's done over the last decade or so. Because I look myself in the morning, look myself in the mirror every morning. I'm not perfect, as you can clearly see. But God uses the imperfect to show His glory. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the message tonight. But let's go ahead and start with the slideshow if we can get it. What do I got to do? I got this? Ha! Magic. That is my... Actually, that's not my family. That's a picture of my family. I've got three out of the seven back there. One's up here. My wife was feeling a little poorly, so she kept the baby home. And then, of course, Jessica, our oldest, is going to Central Baptist in Conway. So that makes up the partnership that we had complete in Romania, and now Jessica's gone and ruined it by growing up. Mandy's a senior. She's going to ruin it even more by growing up, and she'll be going to Central with her sister starting next year. And so the five of us, without the older two, will be returning back to Romania in May, so you pray for us as we are two down, three to go. This is our county. We've got several million in our county, and we used to have another missionary that would preach the gospel down south of us in our county, but he's since left the field. He's an independent Baptist, but a good friend of mine. And unfortunately, or fortunately, we're all God's has left there. So when something good happens, it's not us, it's Him. And all those circles mean that God's moving in the hearts of the Romanian people. You see the black circles, that's areas where we currently have work, so we're working with the folks there. The red ones are the brand new works that we're going to want to see when I get back, and I'll explain how that's going to happen, because that's going to be a little different than what we've done for the first 12 years. And then the blue circle and arrow up there is the proposed site of the women's shelter and church camp, and we'll talk about that too. Now, the building in behind there, it's since finished. It's got exterior coating on it. But I love this picture because it shows what we built, the building in behind, and what God built, the church in front. God's done an amazing thing there. What you see up there that you may not realize how special it is, those men. Okay, because men don't go to church in Romania. In Romania, church is for grandmas and their grandbabies. Men have a thousand other things that are better to do with their time than go to church. Now, if you've ever been to a Romanian Orthodox church, you can kind of understand why they feel that way. If you don't mind a guy singing, you know, his message, well then, church is for you. By the way, I don't sing my message. My wife sings so that people will get a blessing. I don't sing for the same reason. So, I would rather just preach, okay, when it comes time to deliver God's word. Their priests are taught to sing as they preach. So, I can understand why some Romanian men would be averse to going until they come and find out it's a little different where we are. But those men there have kind of told the culture kind of to stuff it. I don't know if that's, can I say that from the pulpit? The culture says real men don't go to church. And they said, oh yeah, watch this one. And they've gone. And they'll get baptized. I got a great story in a few minutes. But the man all the way, I think I've got a pointer, maybe not. Okay, the guy all the way to the right. There's a girl in black and white shirt, and a guy behind it in the blue t-shirt. Can you see him? His name is Kosti. Had you known Kosti before, you wouldn't have liked Kosti very much before, because Kosti was an alcoholic that beat his wife for coming to church. Okay, man, be honest. If you found out that someone was getting beat for coming to church, what would you do? tell you what I wanted to do. Okay? Because I believe in justice. You hit a woman and I'll take care of the problem. Until I realized that God didn't take care of my problem like that. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for my problem. And so we didn't give Kosi what he deserved. We loved him and gave him Jesus. And 4 years ago, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. To my knowledge, that man has never again touched a drop of alcohol. He's a loving, caring father. He has changed from the man he was. God has transformed him. And I'm sorry, if you can have the same relationship with sin that you had before your salvation experience, be careful. Be careful. I'm afraid a lot of our churches, well-meaning though we may be, loving Sunday school teachers, loving parents, have lulled our children into a false sense of security. At a very young age, I was convinced by my Sunday school teacher that I had asked Jesus to save me. But when I actually was saved, the preacher asked me what I had prayed that time, and I said, well, I prayed that we'd be safe over the mountains to go see Grandpa. Okay, be careful, parents. I'm afraid we've got a lot of young people, college age, even adults, that have been given security of the believer for something that they've never possessed themselves. Be careful. Kosti, though, he got saved all over. There was no doubt in my mind that he, because the fruits were there, and he now leads his family as the spiritual leader. And that's why God called me to Romania. Now, this is the main concentration of what I've been working on, especially the last 6-7 years. It was very evangelistic when we first got there. But then I really felt burdened that those men that got saved really needed to be discipled, because God was going to call out of that group pastors, leaders, preachers. And so we started the Bible Institute, and we've been going for 10 years now actually with it. Last 7 has been really strong, and God has graduated 5 preacher boys. We actually have about 4 other churches, 4 other mission works that cooperate together. But now there are more Romanian teachers than American missionary teachers. So that's good that they are growing and maturing and pouring what God's given them into the next generation coming up. But those 5 are just from our work there in Putrasa, where God's given us. And one has been called to be the interim pastor while we're gone. I fully expect them to call him when we organize that group. And then that leaves 4. And what we're going to do is we're going to take them 2 by 2 to plant churches. And I am going to be not the missionary church planter, but I'm going to be the church planter mentor. I don't even know if that's a thing. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to train them how to plant churches and how to train the next generation to plant churches. Because Brother Dave can't reach Romania for Christ. But Lord willing, I can help train some of the men that can reach Romania for Christ. Okay? The answer is not the great white hope. Okay? A lot of our missionaries, not our missionaries, but American missionaries, early in the 20s, 30s, 40s, going to Africa, think we are going to save them by just being us. Well, us isn't going to save anybody, but Jesus is. And the reason why Africa is having a lot of growth is because African pastors are getting excited and getting on fire about planting churches and training African pastors to be leaders and continuing on and so forth and so on. So I'm really excited about our Bible Institute, really excited about those 5, but also for these young men that are coming up. Because when these 2 by 2 go out church planting, either God's going to raise up a pastor in that congregation, or one of them's going to stay and the other one's going to take one of the young men and go out, and it's just going to continue on. And those of you who study geometric growth in evangelism understand that that is a way that we can reach a lot of people until Jesus comes back. I put this picture in because it shows Melissa. She learned Romanian by herself. I mean, she's self-taught, so that she could minister to these ladies. At the time the picture was taken, 2 of these ladies had saved husbands. Now, all but 1 have a saved husband now. And that's because these ladies learned to love their husbands, not because they deserved it, okay, because none of them did, I can tell you, I know them. But Jesus loves them. And they saw Jesus through their wives. And they wanted Jesus. So praise God for that. Here's Melissa working with the VBS. Now, in Romania, the VBSs are a great opportunity to give the kids Bibles to get them in the homes. Very few Romanian homes, like 1 in 1,000, 1 in 3,000, have a Bible in the house. Okay, we have, what, 6, 8, 12 Bibles in our houses, right? They don't even have one. So we give the kids, as a reward, a Bible, and they take home. One of the kids brought it back and said, Mr. Dave, I can't have this. Mama talked to the priest, and the priest said that we're too dirty. We're too sinful. We can't have God's Word in the house because we'll make it dirty. I said, you play outside, right, before dinner?
Yeah.
And what does Mama say when you come in? Well, we got to wash up. But you can't use soap because it's too clean, isn't it? And you'll get that soap all dirty. And they kind of giggle a little bit. And I said, the soap is clean, right?
Yeah.
I said, the Bible is clean and pure. There's no error, no sin in our Bibles. But that's the only thing that can get us spiritually clean. You take this back home and you tell Mama that this is what is going to cleanse. And I give them some verses to look up. And how the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's a part of our Bible in Every House project. We've got 7,000 houses within a 5-mile radius of the work there in Puchasa. So you pray for that. It's $5 a Bible. So that's a lot of money, but the rewards are eternal. The orphanage work, we have 5 children. As many of you know, it's amazing we don't have 105. Picture's worth 1,000 words. What can I say? The reason we don't have 105 kids is international adoptions have been closed for the last 12 years in Romania. But the current administration is considered by the Romanian government more family-friendly than it ever has been. Figure that out. Romania is the only country in Europe that I know of that has a constitutional amendment that says marriage is between one man and one woman. They do not want their babies going into untraditional, is that a nice way to say it from the pulpit? Families. This director has some friends in Bucharest, the capital city, and he said, Mr. Dave, come here. He said, Romania may be changing within the next 5 years or so. We don't know when, because wheels of government grind slowly, but he says, I want families to adopt these babies like Melissa. Because Melissa not only loves on these babies, she loves on the staff. Okay, she has shared the gospel with every member of the staff there. Because she loves them, and they know it. He said, Mr. Dave, he said, I understand, you know, we talked a lot. While Melissa's back with the kids, I'm talking to the director. And he said, I know how you are able to stay here. You know, he knows how we're funded. He knows how all of our churches get together and help the missionaries get to the field. He said, in those churches that you have met, do you know anyone who would be willing to adopt? I said, yeah, I know a few. And he said, how many do you think, all told, if we got the word out that it was going to be opening soon, could you get me a waiting list? And I said, yeah, well, there's probably, I don't know, 2,000 churches in our association that we fellowship with that we could probably get. He said, how many of those might have, I don't know, 1 in 4 maybe? He said, 500, that's enough. That's enough to get a waiting list too long for a non-traditional family to get in there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if that opens up, he wants our organization to be the one that's in charge of controlling who's selected. It's amazing. Pray for that. I don't know if God's going to allow us to do that, but if he is, I'm going for it. But we're going to need a lot of help. So you pray for that. Pray for those precious kids. They are a joy. Okay. Brother Doug, you're not supposed to have favorite baptisms. You're not. Okay. But this one. And it's not because I baptized him and his adult son in the same service. That was wonderful. And it wasn't because his little grandbabies were there watching. Okay, not like 7 and 9, I think. It was because Stefan knew that if he told his extended family that he was going to get re-baptized, because he was baptized as a baby, if he was going to get re-baptized in a Baptist church, the majority of his family would disown him. They see him on the street, they go the other way. Some have even had mock funerals for the one that has gotten baptized in a Baptist church. There's that much animosity between the Orthodox church and us. He didn't care. He invited them all. And about half of them came. First time ever in a Baptist church. They're walking in. You know, think God's going to strike them dead, or they're going to, you know, be abducted or something. The priest tells awful lies about us. And so then they get in there and then they see our baptistry. And our baptistry is nowhere near as big as your baptistry, but it's big enough to show death, burial, and resurrection, right? So he gets into it. And he's standing there and they're like, that's an awful lot of water. Because, you know, in their churches, their priest has a deal and the baby's fine, right? So he gets down on his knees and they're like, they're going to kill him. And I'm hearing this, right? And so I explained for the first time in their lives the gospel and how baptism doesn't wash away our sins, but it is a picture, it's an illustration, it is a visible representation of what Jesus has done for our life, buried with him in death, baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. They can understand it pictorially, but I really was tempted to leave him down extra. I didn't, not too long anyway. But then he got up, and they just, you could tell that the Holy Spirit was working on their hearts. They were dumbfounded that they actually saw scripturally how it should be done. Amen. That's why it's my favorite. The short-term mission trip, this group came over in 2009 and made a huge impact on our family, so much so that our older two have gone on 3 mission trips each. Mandy's getting ready to go to Belize, and so she's fundraising for that, to go down and help the Woodwards. Melissa's going to take her down there in January. But it has opened up the door. 3 of those have come over to do internships, and it really was the start of a real program for those that are interested in internships. And I was talking to Brother Doug. I'm really burdened about this, not just for Romanian missions, but for our young people to get the opportunity, whether it's stateside or internationally, to be able to go help a missionary for 3, 6, 9 years. I mean, months. I mean, weeks. That you can experience what it's like, because there is just something about understanding Jesus is the same 8,342 miles away as he is right here in Russellville. That's powerful. He's working. He's touching hearts. And God has no problem with the language barrier. And to see someone that you can't even communicate with without a translator come to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior as a result of your heart, it's life-changing. And I would love to get all of our seniors and college-age kids somewhere plugged in to understand that this world is an amazing opportunity of outreach. And we've got missionaries all over the globe that need help. One good place is in Romania. We now have experience. We haven't lost any of our interns in a long time. So we're real excited about it. No, we haven't lost anyone yet. You could be the first if you come. We're hoping Kelly will come. Not for that reason. I'm just kidding, Kelly. I love you, brother. This is the church land that we bought right by the river. Unbelievable location. God just dropped it in our lap for about 1/5 of what it was valued at. And so we worked really hard, and that's what God hath wrought. It's about 4,500 square feet right behind that cross. That cross is 12 feet tall. That's the pastor's apartment. So he's able to live there. And because all the pastors for a while will be bivocational, but we've provided them a home that they can live in and not have to worry about at least rent. And someone will watch the church 24 hours a day, so that's good. But the sanctuary is not as large as this one, but we can seat about 140. And we had the National Romanian Association meeting, and we had about 145 there from our Romanian churches in Missionary Baptist Association over there. It was a good blessing to see that many come in. And this is Europe, this is Western Europe, and this is where all Romanians want to go. This is the promised land, okay, because not very many can come to America. Some get to come, but they can make 10 times their wages in Western Europe than they can in Romania. Even doctors make about $400 a month in Romania. So you could see the pull. Well, I want our boys to go as missionaries, bivocational, though they may be, and spread the gospel in what I believe is the last push of the gospel before Jesus returns. So you pray for that. Gadgets for growth. Our little cell phones are turning into be amazing source of building materials in Romania. One of our young men dropped his phone while he was working on the building. And keep in mind, all the men of the work there in Romania are the ones that built the building. We didn't hire any contractors at all. When the money came in, we worked, and they built it all. But one of the boys had dropped his phone on the concrete before we had any flooring in, and so I took him in because I felt bad. And through the course of getting it fixed, the guy found out I was an American missionary building churches over there, and he said, "My buddy owns the lumberyard. You need to go talk to him." And as a matter of fact, he said, "I heard all you Americans just throw away your phones when you get a new one." No, we don't do that, but sometimes we'll sell them or, you know, give them to our kids. And he said, "Well, if you can get me those phones, I will get you a credit for building materials with my buddy." And I said, "Well, I don't know if it's worth it." And this was back when the iPhone 5 just came out, so that tells you how long ago we talked about it. He said, "You give me an iPhone 4, I'll get you $250. Oh, you got my complete undivided attention. And since then, we've seen God raise about $7,000 in building materials just from old cell phones. Now it's expanded to smartphones, tablets, and laptops. So it's amazing. I never thought God would do that, but he just decided to throw that in. So keep that in mind. If you got an old one, get it to Brother Doug or Kelly or Michael or someone, and we'll get it to Romania. Because this is what we're building now. We had four churches with their Vacation Bible School offerings. We'd already bought the land while I was still there. We came back to the States, and these Vacation Bible Schools have happened just this past summer, and we've got enough raised for the foundations for the church camp and the domestic violence shelter. We're going to put them together in adjoining properties, just kind of hidden from one from the other. But the domestic violence shelter ladies will cook and clean for the church camp in exchange for room and board as we transition them back into the community. And they'll get to hear the gospel every day that they're there at church camp. So I'm real excited about that. So that's what God's given us to raise funds for while we're back in the States. So you pray for that. Pray that more people will pray for us. Brother Doug, can I tell on myself? You know, missionaries need different things to help people remember to pray for them. So prayer cards are, you know, normal, number one, right? And many have gone to magnets, and I see that you've kept our magnets there in the little thing out there, and that's very appreciated because when people see it, they can remember to pray for us. And I thought, well, what new thing can I put on the table back there that people can pick up? And I went to the websites and I saw bumper stickers. Even though nobody may put it on the car, that's maybe a neat thing that they can have. And oh, look at this. So I ordered them. $37 for 250. Sign me up. And then they came. I didn't know they had come. I thought it was the business cards because the box had these in them. This is not my business card. I was real smart, real clever. I put honk for the Maneri family. If I wouldn't have put that, I could have got away with it. I could have said, oh, I got a new cute sticker for the kids. So, if you got a smart car, you could... It's proportional. Or a motorcycle, or a bicycle, or a Barbie car. So that'll be back there for you. I'm real excited about these opportunities God's given us to minister in Romania. Also excited because it opens up the doors for members of all of our churches to come over to Romania and help. We've got the building projects that we're going to be starting this summer coming up, and it's going to be a long process. We've got a lot of work to do, but if you can find it in your heart, if God provides, come help us because there's a lot of things to do. If you are a senior, high school senior, or college age and are interested, you come talk to me, talk to Brother Kelly, talk to Brother Michael, talk to Brother Doug, and we'll get you where God would have you to be. Okay, Exodus chapter 33. Now, Brother Michael is my witness. I did not give him any heads up on what I was preaching, right? But we sang the Fanny Crosby song, right? Do you remember what we sang? He hideth my soul where? In the cleft of the rock. Now we're going to be talking about that tonight, because in the cleft of the rock, we're going to see something that we all need. Okay? We all need what Moses got in the cleft of the rock. Let's start in chapter 33 of Exodus, because from 12 down to 17, Moses and God are talking. Keep in mind, this is after Moses, in his anger, broke the first tablets. Okay? So just so you get kind of a context of what's going on. Moses goes back up to the mountain. Okay, if it were me, I'd be like, yes, Lord, right? Moses gets up there, and he essentially said, listen, God, if I found grace, if I found favor in your sight, help me lead these people. You got to go before me, because I can't do this. I mean, they are nuts. Doesn't actually say that, I don't think, but the idea is there that these people are messed up. And Moses, okay, he didn't have everything all together either, did he? I mean, he had his own problems, but he had this responsibility to lead these millions and millions of people. And God says in verse 17, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. In other words, I will go with you. I will lead you, Moses, and I will give you rest. In verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. In verse 17, he says, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I'm just going to have just a little parenthesis right here. And I want you to understand, God knows your name. Amen. He sent Jesus on the cross, and as Jesus was agonizing, he said, it's okay, I'm doing this for Brother Ken, because I love Brother Ken. And I know he's going to accept my free pardon of salvation, and it's worth it. Amen. And he put your name in there too, because he's God. And he can. Okay? God knows you by name. Now, someone who God knows by name implies that he's not going to just leave you there, named. He's got a purpose for you. Verse 18, Moses, I love his boldness now, okay? Moses isn't known for his real boldness. I mean, he's like, God, I don't know if I can talk to Pharaoh. I don't know if I can. But right now, he's like, okay, God, show me your glory. If you're going to go with me, if you're going to give me what I need, and you know me by name and I found grace, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. And God kind of says, okay, here's how it's going to work. Okay, I'm going to pass before you. Okay, I'm going to tell you my name and I'm going to show you my glory. You can't see my face because your brain will explode. He doesn't say that, but essentially he says, it'll be way too much for you, it'll be more than you can handle, you'll be dead. So I'm going to spare you that, but you're going to see something amazing. Now watch it. Let's go to chapter 34. Verse 5, okay, he had just given Moses the new tables, okay. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. So this is what happened in the cleft of the rock. Moses got down there in that cleft of the rock. God covered him with his hand. And God showed Moses his glory. And I was growing up, I thought God had this great big spotlight. And this light was so blind. Right? That's not what happened. Moses saw by hearing. God's glory is not some bright light we're going to look to and say, oh, I can't see anymore. Where's God's glory found? It's glory. God's glory is found in the fact that He is the Lord, Jehovah. He is the Lord God, or the God of hosts, the God that fights my battles. If you're out there trying to wing it, trying to fight it on your own, you are missing out. Also experienced a lot of failure. I've tried it, okay? As missionaries, we're supposed to go out and work, right? And get a lot of stuff done. But if it's not in God's timing, I've done enough of that. Till I said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I had all these great plans. I showed them the slides, God. This ain't working out. You know what he said? It's okay, Dave. Because God knows me by name. And he says, if you'll just hide in the cleft of the rock, if you just listen to who I am, you're going to see amazing things. Mm-hmm. And things are going to start changing. And here's what God did for me. He let me realize that God is merciful and gracious. I wasn't so merciful or gracious. You know what really gets me? Romanian traffic. And there's a reason, okay? We all grew up, most of us, we had a dad or an adult who cared about us and loved on us that took us driving, right? The one that said, right? That guy, Romanians never had that. They are all first-generation drivers. Their parents never had cars. They've gone to Western Europe, earned money, bought cars for cheap, brought them back to Romania, and are, look at me. Hate it. Because the average age of a Romanian driver now is like 24 years old. Driving experience, 3 months. I need to be merciful and gracious. It would not do to kill anybody in Romania. That's real bad for your testimony. So I got to bite my tongue sometimes. I got to slam on my brakes sometimes. I got to get off the road and recollect my thoughts sometimes. But God said, listen, the things you're going through are nothing compared to what I go through day in, day out. With the stupidity of mankind. And unfortunately, the stupidity of his children sometimes. But God's still merciful. He's still gracious. Long-suffering. Oh, if I were as long-suffering as my Savior. But you see, that's where God's glory is found. He is long-suffering. Abundant in goodness and truth. He loves you. And he loves me. And the world, our college students will tell us, there is no absolute truth, my instructor told me. I just want to ask them, are you absolutely sure? Do you realize when they say there is no absolute truth, that is an absolute truth statement? Oops. Dear friends, there is absolute truth. The reason they don't want absolute truth is because they don't want God's word. They don't want God telling them what to do. But unfortunately, neither do we sometimes. Brother Dave, I'm in church. This is Sunday night. But yet we live our lives like we're in control. Okay? Jesus, take the wheel, as the song goes, right? That's because you've held on to the wheel way too long. God is not your co-pilot. If he is, you're in trouble. He needs to be your pilot. He needs to be your director. Peter said we need to walk in his steps. If you're still living your life WWJD, you got a problem. If you constantly have to ask, what would Jesus do? You don't have to wonder, what did Jesus do? Let's start looking in our Bible and find out. Let's not try to guess, because when you try to guess, your brain, your heart can tell you, I think I found a way around this. I can get away with this because I think if Jesus were in this situation, he might agree with me that it's okay. Until we realize that God's word directly contradicts it, and Jesus wouldn't do anything that contradicts his word. Dear friends, there is absolute truth. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we do. Let's start living like it. Let's start living like we have the Almighty Creator of the universe knowing our name, expecting us to live right, to do right, to act like we've seen God's glory in our lives. What did Moses do in verse 8? Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. When you have your cleft of the rock experience, when you see God for who He truly is, there is nothing you would rather do than to worship Him. This is not a song service, folks. This is our lifestyle. This is our giving our lives on the altar as a living sacrifice. God, this new day that You've given to me, I will live for You. My life is Yours. You know my name. And I'm going to make You proud. Many of you remember hearing the story of a young soldier when Alexander the Great was in the height of power. The soldier was brought to him for cowardice in the course of battle. And he said, "What is your name?" "Alexander, sir." "What is your name?" "Alexander, sir." "What is your name?" "Alexander." Change your name or change your attitude and your comportment. You see, Alexander the Great didn't want someone with his name acting like a coward on the battlefield. But we carry the great name of Jesus Christ into this world and we act like cowards. Amen. "Oh, I couldn't say, I couldn't. Again, we've grabbed the wheel back. And we're driving ourselves, thinking like God's in the back, driving Miss Daisy, right? You are not God's chauffeur, okay? God should be your captain. We are in a battle. We have forgotten what we remembered as kids. I'm in the Lord's army. Why? Because we're in the spiritual battle. But we're still singing, "This little light of mine." I'm tired of having a little light. I want to shine bright for Jesus. I want Jesus to be so... God has given us the perfect illustration in the sky above us. The sun is self-sufficient. S-U-N. It's got its own energy and it produces its own light, independent of anything else in the universe. Do you realize that? Does that remind you of anything else? The S-O-N has all the power of the universe. Okay? God is God and you are not. But you know what God's given you the privilege to do? Just like Moses, when he came down from the mountain, they said, "Oh, cover up, I cannot see." Why? Because when Moses had his cleft of the rock experience, hearing who God is, his face shone so brightly, nobody could stand it. Oh, man. You need a cleft in the rock experience in your life where you see God for who He is so that you can shine so bright people have a hard time looking at you. Because we've got the sun, right? But the sun only works where? Where it's shining. We call it daytime. Those poor people on the other side of the planet, they don't have the sun at that time, do they? What do they have? They've got a moon. What does the moon do? The moon shines bright. No, it doesn't. What does the moon do? Reflects the sun. Go home, look in the mirror and say, "Hello, moon." Because you reflect the S-O-N. And do you realize the moon goes around the earth? And the moon reflects the sun to every part of the globe? And that's exactly where we've been told to share Jesus. All over the globe. But you know the problem with the moon is the exact same problem we have. What happens every month? Someone said it. The new moon. What is the new moon? That is the point where the moon is absolutely worthless. It is exactly nothing in the sky. Okay? It's still there, but it's shining and reflecting nothing. Why? Because the world has gotten in between the sun and the moon. Are you tracking with me? Amen. When you allow the world to come between you and God, the world suffers because they can't see the light. Do you realize there are some people in your sphere of influence that never get to see the light except when you come in the room? Amen. We live in the Bible Belt. So what? People are dying and going to hell for lack of a light. They're living in darkness. Your job is to reflect it. How you doing? How long have you been a new moon? You coming out of it? You crescent now? Or are you full on, full moon shining? Allowing some people to change. You know what's kind of funny? The world twists it around and says, when the full moon comes out, people change into werewolves, right? They twisted it backwards. Because when someone gets God's light shining on them, reflecting, they do the exact opposite. They get their life back together again. They change from animals into human beings that the Savior has rescued from their torment. So how are you doing? Is it time for a cleft of the rock experience? Time for you to see Jesus and our God for who they truly are. So that you can quit getting the world blocking, so that you can be effective reflectors of the sun.